for our reading this evening. Let's turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke and read from chapter number 3. St. Luke, chapter number 3.
Evanđelje po Luci, treća glava, da se pročita zajednički.
Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then it goes through all the genealogy of Jesus Christ all the way back to Adam, and then it says, which was the Son of God. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. It's a beautiful thing when we gather ourselves together in the name of Jesus Christ, because we so appreciate what he has done for us, and we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear." And so we're gathered this evening in the name of Jesus, and it's a beautiful thing when we hear the name of Jesus and we speak of him and reflect on the wonderful things that he has done for us. And we read of these things in the Gospels and throughout the Scriptures, of the things which Jesus Christ has done for us and his great, great love that he had for all mankind. Luke, here in the very beginning of his Gospel, writes that it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding in all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, O most excellent Theophilus. It was the desire of Luke to write in order all the things that had transpired, and he had a knowledge of that which had transpired. And so he took time and he was very careful to write this gospel message, that which Jesus Christ has done while he was here upon this earth. And so we can even see that in the genealogy that he goes through here and is careful to get it all right and put it all in the order as it was. And so we're appreciative of the efforts that Luke, the beloved physician, took to write this gospel, and truly we can see that it was Spirit-led. So Luke sets the scene here, and he's bringing forth the setting, and he's saying this is the setting of the time when John the Baptist began his ministry, and when he was there just as a forerunner to Jesus Christ, and as Jesus Christ was beginning to bring forth his ministry as well. And so he spells it out here, and he's saying that this is the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, and he tells who the governor is and who the tetrarchs are of the regions round about there, and who the high priests were, Annas and Caiaphas. And it was at that point, at this 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, that the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. It was at this time, Luke specifies, that the word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord, it came and it made itself manifest to John. Before this time, there was a time of silence, where from the time of the minor prophets until now, there was very little revelation of the Lord as he would speak directly to prophets. But yet we know that the Spirit of God was there, because we see in the previous chapter of Simeon and Anna, how they were led by God. They were led by God. But the word of the Lord came to John at this time. The word of the Lord. The word was God. The word was God. We read that in John's gospel. The word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so it was here that John didn't come to bring his own message. No, but as it was prophesied, he came and brought the message of God to all the people there in the wilderness. And so it was a very special time that the word of God came to John, and he proclaimed it to all the people there as they would come to him in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so this was his message. This is how the Spirit worked in John the Baptist's heart and in his mind, that he would bring forth this baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word makes that very plain. All have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." It says we all sinned. We all sinned. We all fade away as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. If you simply just visualize that as a leaf withers and it dries and it just becomes very light, and the wind takes it away. And so it is in an unrepentant heart, that the wind just takes away that leaf, and those iniquities just drive an unrepentant heart away, and just drives it as the wind would have it. There is no control, no ability for direction of this leaf or of an unrepentant heart. And so we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our righteousness is nothing. Of our own self, we know that. We have no righteousness of ourselves. Our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. And we are thankful for that. Again, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And so we are all unrighteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So some may say, well, I understand that, but I am not that much of a sinner. I'm not like other people are. I don't do the things which other people are. Well, Jesus has a message for you if that's what you think. Because he says that there was a time when some tragic things happened to some Galileans. And Jesus says, do you think that they were sinners above all sinners because these things happened to him, to them? And Jesus says, no. But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. And so Luke closes his gospel up by recording the words of Jesus Christ that says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance, a change of mind and a change of heart toward God, that we would no longer think that we want to do our own will and our own desires, but that we have a sorrow for sin now. The repentance brings us to a point where all those things that we used to have pleasure in, they're all repulsive now to us. There's nothing enjoyable in those things, and we turn away from them. That's repentance. And we turn towards God, and we see his goodness, and we see his love, and there is a remission of sins when we are repentant. There is that forgiveness of sin. And so we see that as Jesus told his disciples, go and preach repentance for the remission of sins, that's what they did. We read right away in Acts chapter 2 that Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for what? For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in the next chapter it says, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you might receive that remission of sins when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so John the Baptist heeded the word of God as it was given unto him. And as he received the word of God, he spoke it. And the Spirit, as he was preparing the way of the Lord, he was speaking of this baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And he made it very clear. And so the voice of the prophet was crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is what John the Baptist was doing. Was he was preparing as a front runner to Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was speaking to the people that they might clearly understand that Jesus Christ has come. The anointed one has come. Prepare yourselves. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What a beautiful phrase that is. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the way God had planned it. God so loved the world, all mankind, of all generations, of all continents, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus Christ spoke that parable and he says, go out into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them come to the marriage, to the kingdom of God. Call them in, as many as ye find. All. The invitation is open to all to come. Jew, Gentile, big sinner, little sinner, if there could be such classifications, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the goodness of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. God created Adam from dust. God is able to take stones and make them to be sons of Abraham. And they were not to think of themselves as in such high regard that, oh, we are of the lineage of Abraham. And we can see that Jesus Christ here was in the lineage of Abraham as well. But John was making the point, don't think of yourselves, Pharisees, that you can just make this claim, well, we are of the sons of Abraham, and therefore we are excused from repenting. God is able. God is able. God is able to save when we turn to Him with a repentant heart, a change of attitude, a change of mind toward who God is. Rather than disobedience, we turn away from sin and let it be repulsive to us and embrace God and His great, great love that He has for us, and that we can just be filled with His peace and with His joy and with His love. And so He tells them, bring, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Bring that. Bring that changed heart. Don't think of yourselves as pride anymore, in pride anymore, that you are the sons of or children of Abraham. And so He says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. If there's no good fruit, if there is no fruit of repentance, there is no salvation. And so John is laying this out here, John the Baptist, and speaking to all the people, that if there is no fruit of repentance, a change of heart and a desire to serve the Lord, if there's no fruit of that, that tree will be hewn down and cast into the fire. There are consequences if we repent not. And so all the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart unto him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. And as we prayed together, this isn't very profound at all. We think the people are hearing John's message and hearing about repentance and the need for repentance, and they're asking, well, what can we do? What is it that we can do? And he comes with a message that's just simple, very simple. It's not complex. They can understand it immediately, but it required that they would no longer be selfish. That they would no longer say, well, these coats belong to me. Well, this meat I need to have for me. And so he was telling them, don't be selfish. That's the backdrop, or that's the principle behind what he's saying here when he's saying, if you have two coats, give one. And if you have extra meat, give that away. Don't be selfish. It's very difficult to do if we have an unrepentant heart. If we have an unrepentant heart, it's very difficult to give away that which belongs to us. We become selfish. It's mine. I earned it. Let him go get his. And so John the Baptist here just brings a simple message. Don't be selfish. Give that which you have to others. And the Apostle Paul also writes in the Corinthians about that there would be an equality. If you have an abundance of something, share with those who don't have that item that you have an abundance of. And if others have an abundance of that item, of another item, let them share that with you, that there would be an equality. And so John the Baptist here is teaching this principle. And so the publicans come to be baptized, and saith unto him, and what shall we do? So we know the publicans were the tax collectors. And John the Baptist, again, comes to them with a very simple message. It wasn't very complicated. He told them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. The publicans had this bad reputation where, as tax collectors, they could extort and get more than what the people owed. And they took it to themselves, and their bosses were aware that they were doing it, and they were getting no pushback from that. And so it was very common practice. They would take extra from the people, and the people didn't like them for that reason. And so he tells them, He tells them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. Just take exactly what is honest. Don't be greedy. That's the principle behind that one. Don't be greedy. An unrepentant heart is greedy. But one who repents recognizes that these people have worked, they've made an honest living, and they are paying their dues to Caesar's as is required by the law, and I should not be taken more from them. And so extortion was a sin, and it was common then, and John the Baptist was telling them, don't practice extortion. Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 23, it's a scathing chapter where he really speaks harshly, Jesus, to the scribes and the Pharisees. And in this one of the verses here, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess." They made themselves look good on the outside, but in their hearts they had extortion. They were taking from people more than what was appointed to them. There at the feast, when the people would come from great distances and couldn't bring their sacrifices, but had to purchase sacrifices, they were making it very difficult for the people. And they were full of extortion, as Jesus Christ pointed out to them. The Apostle Paul also speaks of extortion as well and how it has no part in the kingdom of God. So he writes and says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrepentant," John the Baptist came and spoke to them, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying that "know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Don't be deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," men becoming, taking on the traits and the personality or the identity of a woman, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We are not to take what isn't ours. We are not to be greedy. That's the message that John the Baptist had there. And we ought to walk in purity and in honesty in our lives with that. And so the Apostle Paul continues on and then says, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We are washed, we are sanctified, and we are justified by that sweet name of Jesus, which we love to sing about. What Jesus has done for us. And so then the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Again, this wasn't something that the soldiers were going to have a hard time understanding what to do. He was telling them, authority is placed in your hands, but don't abuse that authority. And don't be excessive in your maintaining of that order as you bring somebody to justice. And so he's saying, do violence to no man. Again, easy enough to understand, not very profound, but for an unrepentant heart, it's very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. When we do these things, when we live as John the Baptist is telling us to live, that we would not be selfish, that we would not be greedy, that we would be kind to people, when we do these things, the Holy Spirit fills us with a peace and a joy and a love in our hearts. That's what happens when we repent of our sins and that fruit is born. This is the fruit that comes from repentance, is a peace and a joy in our hearts. When we're not selfish and when we give that which the Lord has given unto us. That gives us peace, and that gives us joy. This was a message that resonated with the people. They were used to hearing the scribes and the Pharisees telling them what to do, and that was difficult. It was onerous, and it didn't change hearts. See, when the people would give of their extra to others who didn't have, lives were changed. The people that gave were blessed, and the people that received were also blessed. And hearts were changed. There was a sense of gratitude from those that received that which was given to them. And there was a sense of fulfillment to those who gave. That changed hearts. And the people recognized that. And the people recognize it today as well. That this changes hearts. When people aren't greedy, when people aren't selfish, when people aren't full of pride, the cleaning of the pots, the washing of the hands before they would eat didn't change lives. That just didn't change lives. And so Jesus says, I will tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, that ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So again, this message resonated with the people. They were touched by it. And they came, and they were baptized. And they repented of their sins, and they received remission of their sins. And so it is that all the people were in expectation, and all the men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. They were wondering, this is a different message, and this message hits our hearts. It hits home. Is this the Christ? Is this the anointed one? Is this the one who Isaiah prophesied that it would be Emmanuel, God with us? They were musing that in their hearts. But John responded quickly and said to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is one that's coming that's greater than him, and he's pointing to Jesus Christ. And he's speaking of Jesus Christ. I would like to read John's gospel of how this was spoken, and how John gave honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to read a few verses. Oftentimes it happens that when verses are read, we kind of lose focus, but try to follow along. There arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, and they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, this would be Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Meaning, this Jesus, he's a little greater than you. What do you have to say about that? And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. It's the bride that has the bridegroom. It's not the best man that has the bridegroom. It's the bridegroom, the best man that has the bride. It's the bridegroom that has the bride. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus Christ was. He gave Jesus Christ glory. And it was even to him that the name of Jesus was a sweet sound in his ear. And so he says, He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John the Baptist clearly gave honor and glory to Jesus Christ, and he took none of it to himself. None of it to himself. He had humility. That's the opposite of pride. Pride is when we think so much about ourselves. We are so important. It's all about me. That's pride. Humility is not thinking less about yourself, but it's thinking about yourself less. Meaning that you're thinking of others. And John the Baptist was thinking of others and doing something that was bigger than himself. He was a part of the kingdom of God. He was laying the foundation for Jesus, laying the groundwork. Jesus Christ was the foundation, that Jesus Christ's work would come and that ministry would stand, and that would be the truth. And so he had his part, and he did his part. Judas Iscariot became greedy. He became greedy, and he wanted those 30 pieces of silver. But there was one that took his place then, Matthias, and continued in that work of the Lord. So John the Baptist here was, the word came to him, and he proclaimed that word. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so he talks here about a separation there, and whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. This is what the Lord will do. There will be a final separation. Those that were unrepentant, those that said, no, I'm going to do it my way, they will burn. That's chaff. There's no value there. That's chaff, and that will burn with unquenchable fire. But the wheat will he gather into his garner. And so he exhorted the people there with many other things. And Herod did his evil act and put John in prison. Again, an unrepentant soul. Herod, he was thinking about himself. He was thinking that, I'm not going to have this man that dwells in the wilderness and eats honey and is barely clothed with wild clothing. I'm not going to let him tell me what to do. I'm a tetrarch. I'm a governor, whatever he was. He was full of pride. And he paid the price for that pride that he had. And so there were many that were baptized. And the Bible here speaks of how Jesus was baptized too. And then that voice came from heaven, that thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. God was well pleased with Jesus, his only begotten Son. And he was so pleased that he would speak his voice that others could hear. How is it that we can please our Father, that we could be a son or daughter of his, that we would please him? Is it not simply by accepting his word and doing it? Isn't that a way that we can please the Lord? Isn't it so that we can please the Lord and be his good son and his good daughter, that when we fail, that we acknowledge that and that we don't hide that? When we fail, we confess that. There's a proverb that says, whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We have mercy from our Heavenly Father when we confess our sin and forsake it, when we turn away from it, when we repent from it, and let it be repulsive to us, no longer taking any joy in any sin. That's how we can please the Father, even as Jesus Christ pleased the Father. And then when God gives us grace, that we acknowledge that, that when grace and strength is given unto us, that we don't boast in that. There's nothing good that we have done of ourselves that God is so good to us. It's a reflection of his goodness. He gives us his grace. He gives us his strength. And we submit to him. And then we become well-pleasing in his sight. And don't we please the Lord when we have an eternal perspective and not a temporal perspective? This year is coming to a close. People are putting a lot of focus on that temporal perspective. Happy to be done with 2020. That's a temporal perspective. We ought to have an eternal perspective because we are part of a kingdom of God, a kingdom that is from everlasting to everlasting. This is how we please the Father. This is how we glorify him. May he give us grace day by day. May he add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Lord is coming. And the prophet John, he's a prophet from the Old Testament, and he steps out into the New Testament, the pages of the New Testament, with a message that is extremely unpopular in that day. It was extremely unpopular with the prophets of old that were before him. The prophets of old were met with death because of the message that they came with. He came with the same message, and his end was the same. They put him to death. And that message that he brought out then is as unpopular today as it was then. And that message is a message of judgment that is coming, and to repent. Any message that goes against the philosophy of this world is a message that will be met with fierce anger, rejection. Right in here we see the philosophy of the world is not give someone something. No. They will hate you for that. The philosophy of this world rejects Jesus Christ. We heard of the mercies of God. And when we think about his mercies, how beautifully Jeremiah brings out in Lamentations, he says, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why are we not consumed? We all deserve to be because of his mercy. And it tells us, and because his compassions, they don't fail. I fail, you fail. His compassions never fail. He says they are new every morning. And so his mercy is being offered, given for those who hear the message of the prophet of repentance. Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, you have turned to God. Well, for anyone to turn to God, they have to turn away from something. And that's the repentance that Brother John was speaking of here. You turn away from something, and I love what was brought out to be reminded of. When you turn away from something, you no longer like that. You dislike it. And God gives us a hatred for those things. Do we have that hatred for the philosophies of this world? Is it with us, or do we still hold on to it? Well, when we do that, we hate the voice of the prophet. And we won't gravitate towards it. So, dear ones, the message is one of judgment that is to come. And the call is to repentance. Turn away. When you turn to God, you have to turn away from this world. And too often, dear ones, the message that the world is giving is the message that we hear. And so we're being called to repent. To repent, and his mercies are new every day. May God bless his word in this evening upon each of our hearts. Amen.